it's time to take off on the Award Travel 101 podcast. Helping you maximize your travel rewards, no matter your destination or budget. Now here are your hosts, Award Travel 101 community managers, Angie Sparks and Joseph Petrovic, to help you do extraordinary things on ordinary money.
Welcome to episode 60 of the Award Travel 101 podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Petrovic. I've recently returned from an incredible journey to Australia, but today I wanted to introduce you to a longtime friend, Todd. He hasn't always been excited about award travel programs, but he's the perfect example of someone who didn't believe in the power of credit card rewards. So what caused him to change his mind? In our highlight feature, we'll discuss his growth and how he's managed to book his first international overseas trip to Manila, Philippines in business class, and how he's booking airlines that he never would have expected to be flying just a few short months ago, like Qatar's Q Suites or EVA, lie-flat business class, all from credit card rewards. And we'll jump into it right after this.
When it comes to award travel, earning points is easier than redeeming them for the best value. Rather than spending hours per trip searching on your own, let Thrifty Traveler Premium's army of flight analysts do the work for you with their customized premium alerts. Since we're seeing award space to more locations than we've seen in years, you will know that you have a partner you can trust watching out for you and that you're getting a great deal every single day from Thrifty Traveler's premium alert service.
Whether using miles or points, or you're just looking for a cheap cash flight, Thrifty Traveler Premium will send customized alerts just for you. Just recently, with the help of Thrifty Traveler's premium alerts, I was able to book the brand new Japan Airlines A350-1000 in business class to Tokyo for just 60,000 American Advantage miles and $5.60. I booked previous alerts like Emirates business class from Milan on the A380 for 73,000 points, Iberia business class to Venice for 34,000 points, and business class on ITAs, or you might recognize it as ITA, brand new A330-900neo for 54,000 points from Rome to New York City. So if you want more premium deal award alerts sent straight to your inbox, head on over to thriftytraveler.com and use promo code AT10 for $10 off your first year and tell us where you're hoping Thrifty Traveler Premium will take you. This episode of the Award Travel 101 podcast was pre-recorded since I was scheduled to be in Australia, but I wanted listeners and Award Travel 101 members to know about a limited time special offer to save 50% off Point.me. Point.me is one of my two go-to search tools, and we had co-founder Tiffany Funk in the Award Travel 101 community live last Thursday, March 14th, 2024, which we'll link here in the comments. Through March 31st, 2024, you can get Point.me for just $64.50 when registering for the standard annual plan. That's half off the most robust award search tool in existence today. Don't hesitate and use the code AWARDTRAVEL101 to get unlimited live award searches for just over $5 per month. Again, that's AWARDTRAVEL101 to save half off your first year subscription. Happy hunting! Hey, Todd, welcome to the Award Travel 101 podcast.
Hey, Joe. Good to see you. Long time no see.
Every day it's a long time no see. So I want to get into a little bit about this particular episode, because as this episode drops, I will be flying over the Pacific over to Australia. So we wanted to put out an episode that gets into someone who's kind of started from nowhere, just like I did in the award travel space, and has done some things that are unique or different than perhaps what they may have expected to do at some point in award travel. But I wanted to introduce you to the Award Travel 101 podcast listeners and community as somebody who's been a friend of mine for many years, and get into a little bit of your background and then why we're getting into this particular episode. So talk a little bit about what your background was. How did you get started? Were you a business traveler? Did you jump into travel right away? What's your touch to this space.
So my only experience to travel was my dad doing some business travel for his work. He was an inspector growing up. So I remember going to airports and watching him fly, but it was too expensive for us to go anywhere as a family. We drove everywhere. Then later on in life, traveled for a honeymoon under the pre-points and miles days.
Yes.
Then any other travel after that was military paid for and sent wherever they wanted me to go.
And you got to do the cool old Southwest flying backwards thing.
Yes, I will never do that one again. I made that mistake once and the person I was facing was thankful I didn't actually get as sick as I felt.
So for listeners here, Todd has been a friend of mine since we were 12. I just turned 45 recently. So we've been friends for quite a long time. And do you remember how we first met?
Yes. I was in, I'm going to say, sixth grade at a barbershop quartet we went to for a homeschooling event.
And both of us were educated and we were just starting. We both had just stopped grade school. We finished our grade schools and both of our moms took us out of school and started teaching us at home. There was a local group that got parents together and the kids together so that we'd have, you know, social activities that we could all do just like you do at school. And, you know, we've stayed in touch over the years here and there. There are periods of time where we didn't really see each other all that often, or, you know, you went into the military and I don't know what the heck I did while you were doing that. Maybe I was in college or I don't even remember during what periods were what. It's all getting so long. We're getting old here.
Yeah, hey, you've caught up to me now. So.
So how did you find award travel and award travel programs and what got you more into this space?
I was waiting for this question to come up. I remember it quite well. I started working with you guys in 2018, October 2018.
It was longer than that, wasn't it?
Or I'm sorry, 2014. Sorry. Yes. And for about 4 years, I came to work every day listening to you and your dad talk about your passion of airplanes and you having gotten into this before me, talking about your passion for the credit cards and points and miles. And there were many days I was ready to shoot myself with the glue gun. But I remember it clicking finally. But in addition to that, there was a remark of asking me, you know, what I really wanted to do. And I said, I wanted to go to Hawaii before I was 50. And you made a very kind, gentle, point blank remark that I'm not that far from it. So I think it kind of got me started.
Well, and I think I, as I was discussing this with you, it was something that I remembered you hadn't even turned 40 yet at that point.
Nope.
So we were looking at it and I said, why are you going to wait till you're 50? And to give a little background, you were big into credit card miles and points before this, right?
No. I was a loyal bank card person, debit cards and everything.
And you did have a cashback. Card. You had a couple of cash. You had a bank cashback card. And I think like many of us, you had a Discover card as well.
I do. I have the old joint one before they split off stopped doing that.
So with that, you're like, hey, I've got my cash back. I don't need any miles and points programs. And one day I was like, hey, what do you want to do? And you said, I'd like to get to Hawaii before I'm 50. I think you were 38, 39 at the time, something like that. And it's like, what if I could tell you that with just two cards, you could get your family to Hawaii and back? And you're like, I guess I can listen to that, you know?
I do remember that. You said just two cards in 3 months. And it was dead on. In 3 months there, we booked our first trip to Hawaii in 2019. And for three of us, and we flew United down. I was so nervous about it. I didn't even take advantage of the excursion option I could have done that first year. But we went down to the Big Island and fell in love with Hawaii.
And you were able to, you know, save on some stays because you had a friend who lived there. So you were able to do like kind of what most people would probably do or consider like a vacation rental.
Correct. She has a little like mother-in-law suite, and we got to go and experience the more rural and the native side of Hawaii. See, yeah, a lot of that. And I try to just fix up a few things while I'm there in appreciation for letting us stay there. But it allowed us to do a lot more on the trip, swim with the sea turtles and that. And then we also did an ATV excursion that year, traveling around. I was not brave enough to jump off the cliff 30 feet into 30 feet of water, but I thought about it.
Now, was that when the volcano erupted as well?
Yes, that was the other excursion we got to do. We almost thought we were going to have to cancel the trip, but this was the once-in-a-lifetime thing, we thought, at the time. And having done helicopter repair, as long as everything wasn't cancelable, her place wasn't in danger at her location of the lava flow, it allowed us to still go. And I talked my wife and daughter at the time to get on a helicopter and do a entire island flyover. And our pilot flew a couple loops around the flow, lava flow, the eruption there. And it was an amazing thing to see.
So 4 years, and we'll back up here and just to be clear. So Todd came to work for our family business and works within it daily. Todd has been working with us for almost 10 years now. It's coming up 10 years this year.
Wow.
It's been a while. And again, we've been friends for a long time. And, you know, the opportunity just happened to hit at the right time that this transition worked out. But it was something that he listened to me talking about it before I even really knew what I was talking about. I didn't know like a lot of the things that I know today. And, you know, had I known some of those things back then, I might have made some different recommendations. But I looked at it and said, hey, here's two cards that, you know, you can get. You do have a business as well. So you can generate business applications and be able to get some of those more valuable rewards we often share with our community members and say, hey, you can get these, get that, because you won't impact your count towards 524 with Chase. You can get more cards. You can get cards with more rewards. But the specific thing about these two particular cards is that you were looking to check a bag. So I remember I recommended the United Mileage Plus card at that time. And yep. You also needed some points. So I believe you got the Chase Inc. Preferred as well.
Correct.
And so for a total of less than $200, you had annual fees on two cards that probably returned something in the ballpark of $60 to $80 for the checked bag, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Something in that ballpark. So it reduced your cost of something you were going to have to pay for already. And then you generated enough points that you were able to transfer to United and book flights. And now you didn't have to pay for this rental or hotels or anything like that. And you took what was at that time, I remember the flights were ridiculously expensive to Hawaii. And I want to say they were like $1,600 a person or something like that. So all of a sudden, $4,800 worth of flights that you wouldn't have been able to afford at the time became manageable. You had a place to stay. And did you end up renting a car or doing anything like that?
We did. We rented a car. We stayed over in Kona at a Airbnb type place for a couple days on that side of the island. And then the rest of the time, we just kind of drove around, toured all parts of the island different days.
But suddenly,
we spent about 2 weeks down there.
This trip that would have cost, you know, $6,000-$7,000 minimum just to get there. And then that doesn't even include all the lodging and other expenses became possible. So with that in mind, like, did you say, hey, okay, now I did it and it's time to give up?
No. I got a little excited then. I think that's the point where you created a monster. We had three businesses and by the end of the next year, maybe even 6 months in or so, that 2019, I had 5 or 6 ink cash cards. And I think one of them would have possibly been a CIP still. So I think a total of 6, we were earning a little over 750,000 points a year. And I haven't slowed down since. Or at least, well, I have a little bit with COVID and all that, but.
Yeah, and so these cards, you were able to generate some substantial spend, and you were able to earn some miles and points to be able to do things that, again, you wouldn't have necessarily considered otherwise, because it's something that, you know, a lot of us are not sitting here as millionaires just waiting to stay at the next luxury hotel. We're looking to do things with our families to be able to experience new things, but miles and points certainly help do that. So what were some of the programs that you started to utilize and enjoy?
So United has always been my most favorite, because that's what I first went on and I was most comfortable with. We are team checked bag at the time, and I'm starting to move over into team carry on, but that was handy having the United card to check bags. Kind of a little bit loyal on the Southwest too, because it is convenient there for heading out west sometimes. The hotels, I'm definitely more of a Hyatt person. My backup is Hilton, Holiday Inn Express, that kind of stuff. Because sometimes the Hyatts aren't everywhere, but I prefer Hyatt. I got my Globalist and have been able to keep that for a few years. Keep getting that. Credit cards, I went, as I recall, you started off more on the Amex world, where I jumped into the Chase world more there. So I'm a little slow, a little behind you on the Amex side of things, and haven't utilized those points in the same way, because I didn't do as much international travel and I wasn't flying AA and a couple of the airlines where I could have benefited more. So whether you could say I made the mistake, or I found a different value, or I used the points to purchase a pretty good gaming photography type of laptop, heavy duty kind of thing. Again, that kind of, I don't recommend that to everybody. It just depends on what is your needs, and that, you know, I always prefer to maximize the points from a points and mile travel perspective, but it benefited me at the time.
Yeah. So this was something that, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with, is where they have their points and how they have them and how they're going to use them. And if they don't immediately see the value, it doesn't mean that they don't have value. It's just what your needs are at the time. And you saw something that I see as a suboptimal use, because you look at what we're going to talk about here in a little bit, and what you were able to book with a similar amount of points that you used for a laptop here coming up, you know, in a bit. But, you know, at that time, you didn't have a use for those. You didn't see a need for those. And you're like, okay, well, I got all these points, but I don't see myself doing any of these travels. Then the pandemic hit, and it was just like, we all sat at home, and it's like, what do you do with all these things at this point? And that's part of where some of these transfer partners will come in. But, you know, again, you weren't really doing those. You had some limited things you were doing. And by limited, it's, you know, a lot of people would like to be limited to the things you were doing, as, you know, going to Hawaii every year and doing these travels. And but you got to do these. And did status play any roles? Did you become an airline elite or have anything other than Hyatt Globalist?
So from an airlines, hotels, there was no status other than the Hyatt. I did enjoy the perks of some of the cards, like the Chase Sapphire Reserve, having the
Priority Pass.
Priority Pass. Thank you, Joe. So, yeah, I liked having that, using it. But other than that, I had no status. Although at the time, there was a setup to where we could get status in the car rentals. So Hertz and National, I had status in that, which helped.
And you did all that through the status match merry-go-round that no longer exists.
Correct. Yes, we did that. And that has paid off, because it's definitely saved a lot of money on the rental cars, getting better prices over the years, and even nicer cars at times when you know, want some. I've always traveled more economy, so I haven't actually gotten to, because not, I, you know, I didn't have the status, so I wasn't getting upgrades. I kind of got used to just economy, but at one point I did book for a year because we were doing more travel, the economy plus seating through United. And I did enjoy that, getting, you know, the longer leg room and everything.
Yeah, economy plus on United gives you typically about 6 inches extra of leg room. So it's the same economy seats that are in the back of the plane, just giving you a little bit more leg room to stretch out. And if you're a taller guy like you are, then, you know, it's nice to have that extra space rather than having your knees crammed up. You know, even me, it's not all that comfortable sitting in those seats all the way in the back. So you can buy those subscriptions on united.com. They have different levels of them. You can get them for families. You can get them for single people. You can get them for couples. You can get them for domestic only. There are different levels of this. And if you travel enough in United where you don't have status, it can give you some status like features where you're able to, you know, pick those at booking, and you don't have to worry about, hey, if I'm like silver status, like I am currently, I've been 1K and I was able to book those at time of booking, but I fell, you know, after my status match dropped off to silver status, and I can only pick those economy plus seats at check-in. So it's no longer something like you could, if you had a subscription, go book those seats right now, and you can beat somebody with lower level status. So, you know, there are ways to pay for things and still save money. And I think that's what you found with that. So what credit card rewards have you found most useful in your travels?
Well, the Priority Pass, having a family of three going to restaurants and that in the airports when we're stuck sitting there for a while. I like that. The Centurion Lounge. I actually really enjoy that lounge a lot. Some of the perks are like little things like 5X at for shipping at like Staples. So sometimes I'll go when they're fee free, buy 5X gift cards and then use those cards. So I'm getting 5X for any purchases.
I think I just did this the other day and we were talking about this, how like, you know, Staples was having their fee free Visa gift cards, their sale there. And I was like, well, why would I want to go? I knew I had a purchase at Sam's Club and I didn't have any of those cards on me. So I said, why not just pick up a few at Staples, earn 5X on everything I'm going to buy at Sam's Club.
Yep. Let me, sorry, I got distracted for a second because I had also, when you talked about that, I pulled up my 2021 travels for that year because after I had gotten into this a little bit,
yeah,
I did, after only being in it, you know, basically 19, 20, 21, you know, 20 really was no traveling. So 2 years, really, I did about a little over $29,000 worth of travel from a cash value, what it would cost me to actually pay for it. And ended up with the way I was accruing the points through my businesses and expenses that already I had to pay for. My net savings was $26,416. So basically I did all that for just a little over $2,500.
So you basically were paying 10% of whatever, you know, it would have cost at the time to book these. And again, you were on the budget traveling. So you're looking and you're not sitting here flying first class, you're flying economy everywhere you go. And you're using some of these tools to stay at places like the,
let's see, did the Grand Hyatt in Hawaii on Kauai.
And you got to take advantage of their lounge access and pools and all the stuff there.
We've been there 2 years now and we've gone twice and loved it. My daughter, all she wants to do is go back to Hawaii. So she fell in love with especially Kauai and the Big Island we like, which is kind of different because most people are big, more into Maui and that. But, you know, we find we like the more slower paced islands.
And what are some of the offers that you're working on right now?
So with this new trip coming up, I realized we were going to need some more city points. So I got a
City custom cash.
City custom cash. Thank you. And I just finished the spend on that. So I'll get 20,000 bonus points for that.
And that's because you have the premier already, the city premier already. You had some points in there and you're going to tie them together to make this booking we'll talk about here shortly.
Correct.
And that card does happen to earn 5X as well on your highest spend category, up to $500 every month. So if you're at the grocery store or you're at the gas stations, or there's a couple of different categories where you can earn 5X. If you're doing that, that's $6,000 annually that you can spend on it. So it's similar to like a Discover card or the Chase Freedom cards, where they have $1,500 rotating 5X quarterly credits. And you could earn up to 30,000 points per year on this card. And it's a fee-free card.
So the next thing, I'm getting the Wyndham business card for the 8X at gas stations. And that will give me diamond status through Wyndham, which will also match with Caesars, which will give me some perks for like free parking when I'm out in Vegas, a $100 meal, which kind of balances out with the $95 annual fee. But the savings you get, I get a couple free tickets to the high roller when we're out there. So it's a little something else when I'm out in Vegas area to enjoy. Yeah,
there's some pretty cool things that you can still do with Caesars Diamond status. It's not the best hotels necessarily that you're going to be staying at with that particular status, because you're not in the Diamond Plus and you're not actually really gambling with that, or many people who use that in that way aren't. But with the annual celebration credit, with the fact that you do get free parking in Vegas, you do have access to the high roller, and they used to do some shows. I haven't seen too much on that lately, but there are a lot of things that you can still do, like match those over to get free cruises. You can do that by going to Atlantic City.
I did that one.
You do some other things where you get a free stay. And I say free stay in quotes because it's mostly free to Atlantis, Bahamas. You actually did that as well. So
did
you
did too.
The 4 nights free, and then you paid the casino rate, I think, for 2 more nights. But that was a
Correct.
Trip that you might, I think you said that maybe 4 nights was enough.
Yes. That one, the hotel obviously is getting older. Not, well, at the time wasn't as remodeled or anything. Maybe it is now. And the new Hyatt was just being built at the time. So we loved the water park, and the Claire is big into aquariums and aquatic life. So it was huge getting to go out watching the feeding times and all that kind of stuff. But being there for 6 days, we realized that would have been a simple one to do 4 days, just staying in one location, because all we did was walk to anywhere. If we'd rented a car at that time and gone out more, the 6 days wouldn't have felt as long.
And just as a follow-up to when I said the free nights, so you get four free nights at Atlantis, Bahamas with the Caesars Diamond status. And there you do have to pay the taxes and resort fees, which I believe amount to somewhere between $65 and $75 a night. But if you look at that and you say, what's access to the water park, it costs well more than that, much more than that for that particular stay. But you could do that, and you know, you just have to go in with the knowledge that you're not staying at an ultra luxury hotel there.
Correct. And for, we did that the end of our 19, so we were still new into it, didn't really have a lot of expectations. So for us, that was still a big trip, you know, nice family fun. I mean, we like going out to all the mom and pop kind of places for restaurants. So we weren't always eating right there on the resort, unless we wanted to stay in and swim and that kind of thing.
So with that, I was going to ask the final question before we jump into the highlight feature here is, what do you think overall has been up to this point your best deal that you received from doing all of this?
Well, actually, it probably was less of the travel. It was the sitting there for 4 years listening to you, and for all the new AT101 people, this is definitely something you want to consider. The people who have already gone through or made the mistakes, or, you know, have learned the fast track, you know, after listening to that for 4 years and being able to jump on the fast track and get there a lot faster. Now, I'm not anywhere near where Joe is yet, because you've done a lot more on the research side than I have still, but it definitely gave me a huge jump start to get me into this and get me excited and do it a lot faster, having that knowledge.
I thought you were going to say that the best deal I ever received in travel rewards was the one that you paid for. So.
Well, that is too, yes, because I can't complain about that trip. Last year, you or actually a little over a year ago now.
It was December 2022.
Yeah. We went out and to Vegas there, and you love, it's always interesting watching you hunt for the trips and that, because I'm never sure which one you're more excited about, the hunt for the trip or the actual trip.
Well, we ended up doing the long way around. Instead of flying nonstop from Cleveland to Las Vegas, we ended up doing Cleveland to New York City. We met some friends there at the lounge at the new BA and AA first class lounge in JFK. And then we flew over to San Francisco overnight on lie flat seats on their A321Ts. Then we flew down on Southwest to Las Vegas from there. I remember you kind of crashed out in the airport in the terminal and just fell asleep on one of the couches out there. And we had an early 5:30 a.m. flight out to Vegas, and where we spent a couple nights and got to do some cool things because of free night award certificates. So, you know, I'd say that was probably your best deal if it were my guess.
Yeah, that was a cool one. Because I definitely had never flown, you know, lie flat. So that was a new experience for me. I really enjoyed it. I was pampered in a way I had never been. I had traveled business first once before that, but only because my daughter was hurting and we needed to move into the seats. So I've been in that. But yeah, that was the first time any kind of experience like that. So yes, I was. That was awesome. And that will probably all be my best trip until the next trip you take me on.
Yeah, as long as it's somebody else's miles and points that's paying for it, it's all good, right?
Well, you know, like today, I asked you for your credit card, remember?
I gave it to you, but not for the reason that everybody else will think from this.
Yeah.
So with that, let's hop over to our highlight feature. And for Todd, this is his first business class booking, and it's going big. So Todd has been, as we've mentioned before, a deal seeker, somebody who's flown economy his whole life, with the exception of a few times. And even the time you flew the business class home from Hawaii, it still was in a recliner seat on a domestic 737. So it wasn't like you were getting lie flat seats with fine dining and all of that. But correct. Should everybody going into this, as we get into this first class, or not first class, but the first time booking business class for overseas travel, did you end up booking what you thought you were going to end up booking on this trip?
No, I didn't know. I knew. I had never booked, well, first off, I didn't even consider booking business class. I was like, okay, how am I going to go to the Philippines on economy, and what, you know, who even goes there kind of thing? What airlines do I need to consider? Have I even created partnerships or accounts with some of these places, airlines? But then I thought, okay, yeah, we have some of these tools that I've been watching, like points.me. I always use Google to jump on first just to get ideas. I used to use Expert Flyer a little more, but unfortunately they've lost some of the options, you know, to search, but I'm hoping they'll get those back because I really did like that program. I originally thought, I think you had mentioned to me the new nonstop from San Francisco to Manila, and I had thought that would probably be the number one go-to at the time. And I wasn't even thinking business.
They were really cheap too, right?
Yeah. 200,000 points round trip.
One way. 200,000 miles one way.
That's right.
It wasn't even, you know, 100,000 points in today's day and age wouldn't be the worst deal to get to the Philippines, but it's 200,000 miles to 250,000 miles one way.
Correct. And that was business on that one. And then, one of our listeners, James Andrew Beckett, is getting married. He goes to our church. He's getting married to his fiance in the Philippines so that her family, they can all be present. And they invited me to the wedding. And I thought first I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then I realized I did a stop, and like almost instantly, I would have probably never done this that quickly. But I'm like, wait a second, this isn't impossible for me now. So I was like, I just immediately started kind of looking and thought, I can do this. I can book this on points. It wouldn't be so hard. And then he threw a little bit of a monkey wrench into the scenario because we were helping him book his flights and his folks too. And they wanted to meet somewhere in the U.S. and fly over together. And then they were going to come back with his brother, who's going to meet up with me to go out there. That was a new process I had not considered. Like, how do I, you know, start researching where they can meet from Tennessee to Cleveland? What's the best airport to meet and what airline to take out? We figured out his folks' side of it relatively easy. My side of it with his brother was a little trickier because, you know, points and miles, we tend to hold off a little bit, but cash prices, you tend to want to book sooner. So we are almost done booking everything. We know at least what we're going to do now anyways.
Yeah. And so you ended up having some points from a British Airways Avios transfer. It was a 40% transfer about 2 years ago. This was a while back. And you were originally looking to use these. I think you were planning to go to the West Coast and hang out in California or maybe even down in Phoenix. And we had talked about looking for American or Alaska flights out to Hawaii because you go to Hawaii pretty frequently. And you said, hey, you know, I'd like to treat my daughter and wife to first class and go across, you know, the ocean to Hawaii. And of course, most first class on American or Alaska is still recliner seats. Like, you know, it's still better than, I guess, nothing, but it's not the fancy lie flat seats and the dinners and all that sort of stuff. So you had these points that didn't end up ever coming together and you were sitting on these points for a long time. And suddenly what pops up?
Well, when I say we, I started looking at some ideas and I, you know, while Joe and I are working, I'm throwing out, oh, I saw this last night or I saw this. And of course I should have known, knowing Joe, as soon as he heard the words, I'm thinking about going to Philippines, he already was like 10 flights ahead of me. You know, he had already looked and Googled and done his all his searches. And he's like, it's kind of funny because he goes, he'll start. He'll be like, yes, but what haven't you thought of yet? And, you know, he tries to make you think about what. And I, you know, I'm racking my brain because I know he knows way more than me in this area. But then you start bringing it up. We go to the computer, we start looking and you're halfway in a thought on one and all of a sudden my idea already pops in your head. You're like, I didn't think of this. And so while one is still loading, you're bringing up another tab, bringing up that information.
Well, it's always a good time watching me search. I should probably do this at a meetup and show people my process for finding award flights because it's only one or two browsers.
Yeah. by the time you're done, you've opened like 10 plus tabs and I can't even, it gets to where instead of him saying, go to the AA tab or go to this, he just points which tab he wants me to open now. Cause he knows he remembers exactly the order he's done it in, but my brain is blown away at this point. Like, how is he even keeping track of where we're at? Yeah. You were the one that started, you actually remembered about the points I had before me. Cause we were looking at United. I had even set up a couple different overseas airline counts just in case, you know, not knowing what I would be looking for yet. And I think we even found the return flight that I was kind of interested in first. We ended up looking at EVA. Did I pronounce that right?
It's EVA. It's EVA.
EVA. Thank you. Sorry. And I hadn't even considered them when we were started looking, but then I realized I could get this city card, we could transfer the points into that, and I wouldn't have to touch between that and the British Airways and everything. The points I had sitting there, I wouldn't have to touch any of the reserve points I had sitting in Chase. So I was pretty happy about that.
So with the British Airways things, how did you end up not having to use any other points?
We found a flight on Qatar, and you'd mentioned that we can link these counts because they use the same Avios points. Unfortunately, I wasn't paying enough attention when I first set up the account. You have to watch this, that they use a day, month, year format. And I inputted everything as a month, day, year format. So took about a week to get that fixed and a lot of patience, which that was actually probably quick compared to most times. I think yours took a lot longer when they had to do something, fix something on yours.
So you can link your Avios accounts and British Airways, Iberia, Aer Lingus, Qatar, and soon to be Finnair all use the Avios award system. And because you can do that, these accounts can be linked, but they have to be identically linked. Your name has to match perfectly. Your email address has to match perfectly. Your birth date has to match perfectly. And then you can transfer these points from one another. And Todd happened to have more than enough points. It was 100,000 Avios to book Qatar Q Suites from JFK to Doha, with a connection through Doha straight onto Manila. And both flights are currently listed as Q Suites planes. So he'll get to experience that before me, unless I happen to find something before that. So I don't think I'm going to.
I was just
going to
say, I still won't be surprised to come in one of these days between now and the trip and find out that you're taking a weekend trip somewhere just to get on that plane before me.
I have too much booked through the summer. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull that off. But this is a cool thing. It's like you had these points already there. You didn't expect to use them this way. You had the 100,000. You actually have more than 100,000 points. But to get 100,000 points based on that transfer, you would have needed like 72,000 or something ridiculously low to cover this. And now you've got this flight that's like, you know, 22, 23 hours worth of travel with a very small window for connection at this point. You know, it's something that you're going to spend at least that all that time traveling is going to be in comfort. It's not going to be sitting in the back of the plane like you're typically accustomed. And hopefully you'll get the best of service. I don't know that, you know, they are always the best when it comes to their flight attendants, but I think it's just like anything else. You know, some people have their days on and days off, but you know, if you're going to be having a bed on a plane and your own space and you've got a nice window seat, you know, this is something that you never anticipated doing.
Yeah. And that's something you mentioned with the bed on the plane. Something I hadn't considered either, because when we were looking to book those flights originally and we were going through, we know, trying to figure out what seat I wanted, we discovered that some of the seats face backwards. And, you know, after the Southwest, I knew I didn't want to do that. So I was very careful about what seat I picked.
Yeah. So you had one of the aisle seats rather than necessarily the window seats of the aisle seats, because you have the 1-2-1, but with some of those seats facing backwards, which were the more secluded ones, those ones were not the ones you wanted to be in. So you obviously picked something else. But we mentioned earlier that you picked up the Citi card, and this is something out to Asia. It's not the least expensive. A lot of people always jump into ANA because you have the Virgin transfer bonus. You can use United miles, which it's not the most, or it's not the best option to use United to book ANA. But there are different options that people talk about to get to Asia. And one of the programs that's often overlooked is EVA. And EVA, again, you know, in this particular case, you already had like 65,000 Citi thank you points or so. And I was looking, I said, how can we get you to 80,000, which is what you needed to be able to book the flight home from Manila? You get to go out, you know, spend some time a week with your buddy and his new wife when after they're married, and then, you know, spend time in a place that you never even expected to go just 3 months ago.
Yeah, I did not see this trip ever coming up, or at least anytime soon, or flying international. I am excited about it. And the only thing I regret is, you know, a couple of days after the wedding, we're going to all head back to the airport. Like I think I told you today, I was like, I should have thought about it and stayed in Manila a day or two on my own just to experience it a little more. Again, these are some of the new things that I didn't think about, because I'd already looked at, like, okay, how am I, when I get to Chicago, how am I getting back to Cleveland? And I had booked that part from Chicago to Cleveland on some points that if I cancel that flight, I'll lose out on some stuff. So it kind of locked me into going home still on that date. Whereas if I had thought this through, I could have stayed a few extra days or something.
Well, and there may be still a way around that. We'll have to talk about that at a later point in time. So,
of course, you've already thought about that.
I have some ideas that might be able to help you out with that, but we'll get into that some other time. So with that, let's jump into your tip of the week for listeners.
Well, I think the thing to keep in mind is, again, that points and miles, you have to take your own specific, what's going on in your life at the time. Again, with all these deals that you can stack and that kind of stuff, sometimes using a few points to purchase something you need can be good. So, but, you know, really think that through before you go that way. But there are more than just one. Yeah, we tend to think just airlines, hotels, whatever. But again, those fuel perks, anything where you can save a little extra money, that means that's money you could potentially put towards something really cool, like that helicopter ride I did in Hawaii, that just something to give you that wow factor on your next trip.
Yeah, you are using the stacking technique. I shared a post in the Award Travel 101 community a few weeks back on how I made a, I don't even know how to say that, septuple. Is that the proper way to say it? Seven different ways to stack a PlayStation 5. And if you look at all the rewards that I would have earned between cashback and credit card perks, effectively the PlayStation 5 became a free item. But, you know, there are different ways you can do these stacks. You can use grocery store rewards programs where you're earning points on top of your credit card points. You get the gas and you fill up your tank, and that's more money in your travel pocket for future travels to do stuff like the helicopter rides and things like that. So there are a lot of different programs that people don't consider using to their full potential. And I think, you know, the goal of Award Travel 101 is to make sure everybody's using everything to their maximum potential to get the earnings they want out of it. And it's something that, you know, I've always enjoyed from the community and finding those deals and being able to max those programs out and then get outsized value on your travels.
That is true.
So here it is. You're flying on two airlines you probably hadn't even heard of or barely heard of, you know, just a few months ago. You're flying business class. And what is your overall takeaway from this then?
I have to say I have a different perspective of travel, because business class, even though with the points and miles, I've always been very frugal with my points, flying more economy, maybe economy plus, big seats or something, because I've just like, okay, I want to stretch these out into as many trips as I can. But when I'm going to be sitting on a plane for that long, all of a sudden it became appealing to have the comfort and that to enjoy that aspect of flying too. So I'm really excited about getting to experience that.
And you had the points to be able to position to the city, to and from the cities that you're going to go through. You're going to go through JFK on the way out, and you're going to return through Chicago O'Hare. And because of the flight times, you had Hilton points that you're able to use to stay overnight at the Hilton there in Chicago, not coming up with, you know, another $300-$400 out of pocket. So there are a lot of things that you're able to piece together and make a trip that, when you first heard about this trip, you were like, hey, there's no way in heck, you know, I'm going to be, you know, going out to the Philippines for some, you know, buddy's wedding. But here now, all of a sudden, with travel rewards and award travel, something that you initially might have blown off is suddenly possible.
Yeah. And I'll also be doing something that I hadn't thought I'd do again for a while, unless I knew exactly what I'd be doing. But I'll be watching even more closely sometimes for those 40 or whatever percentage transfers. Not that I don't know they're happening. I just, I don't have anything planned. I don't have anything planned. You know, having that as points sitting in there saved me. And, you know, I might want to take advantage of that again in the future. Go ahead and put some in there. I know we're always playing that game of, well, will the airline devalue? You know, you got to play that a little bit. But at the same time, having them there ready to go really made a difference on this trip.
Absolutely. Well, Todd, I thank you for joining us here on the Award Travel 101 podcast. And you have a safe trip. We'll check back in after you've gone and see how it went.
Sounds great. And I guess I will see you tomorrow morning.
Have a good one.
Happy.
Safe travels, everyone. To learn more and to join in the conversation, the free 100,000-plus member Award Travel 101 community is open to all who wish to better themselves. For more intermediate and advanced strategies, check out the Award Travel 201 community, which is $89.99 annually. To learn how to better your award searches or to build a better card strategy, feel free to set up an Award Travel one-on-one appointment with one of our experienced team members. You can also email us at contactawardtravel@gmail.com with any questions. And our next meetup is located in San Antonio, Texas on April 26th through the 28th of 2024. And we've opened up a few more tickets to members. To learn more, visit Taco Bauta Fiesta on Eventbrite. And as always, please support the Award Travel 101 podcast and community with your next reward card application. Safe travels and take care.